fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Here on Wednesday, the 10th day of January. A prepper tip of the day, and we'll expand on this and have a conversation about it. I encourage all of you to learn how to use a map and compass for cross-country navigation, topographical maps, and a real compass. Now, GPS is wonderful. I love my Garmin GPS. It is just a marvelous device on one hand. On the other, you really need a basic knowledge of how to use an ink on paper map and a compass. You really do. So let's begin from the beginning. There's different ways you can learn to use a map and compass. There's books, obviously, you can purchase. I think I may have one or two posted on my website. I know I have some compasses posted on my website under John's Survival and Tactical Gear that you can get your hands on. Good quality compasses and books that you can self-teach yourself. There's a sport called orienteering, which typically orienteering clubs are around college campuses is where you typically find them, around cities. People of all ages that get involved in this sport of orienteering. It's a fun sport. I've done a little bit myself. Boy Scouts, I know. Of course, I would rather see people involved with the Royal Rangers, which is similar to the Boy Scouts, but no homosexual leaders in the Royal Rangers. And, of course, the Girl Scouts are places youngsters can learn to use a map and compass. Okay, there's something called topographical maps. Topographical maps are published by the U.S. Geological Survey people, USGS. There's also private companies publishing topographical maps, a company called Delorme. They started out in the mid-90s publishing the 50 states. It took 3 to 5 years to get all 50 states published, but now they've all been published for quite a while. These are bound volumes. They're a large format, I believe, 11 by 17 paper-bound format with topographical maps covering the entire state for each state that they are published with. They don't have the details of the larger scale topographical maps that are published by the USGS, but they're handy. they're handy. And one big advantage of the Delorme maps as opposed to a highway map is that it shows the back trails that are not published on the highway maps. One of the things I learned working in Special Forces is if you're going to photocopy maps, make sure they're full color. Black and white is better than nothing at all, but you want full color copies of the maps. If you're going out into the field, the maps need to be protected from moisture. There is special paper that will be more water resistant, which is even better if you can get your hands on the water resistant paper. Write in the rain, it's R-I-T-E, not W-R-I-T-E, but R-I-T-E, Write in the Rain, is a company that that produces the various products, including the water-resistant paper. I recall a night operation I went on with Special Forces, a training operation, and we needed to do cross-country navigation. And all of us had our commando flashlights with the red lenses. And we thought, man, we're good to go. So we get out there, and it's the middle of the night, and we gotta navigate and turn on our genuine commando Army issue flashlights with the red lens. And guess what? All the red markings on the map disappeared. It's like they weren't even there. You know, it was a wake-up call. Good thing it was a training operation and not real life, because we would have been in pretty bad trouble real quick. Well, the solution, obviously, was obvious to us anyway, remove the red lens, go back to the white lens, and then have the one or two guys that were in charge of navigation, get them down on the ground, kneeling down, hunched over with a poncho covering them, so they could turn on their flashlights with the white lens, review the map, determine where we were, where we needed to go, and how to get to where we needed to go, and turn off the flashlight, and then get the poncho put back away, and then get back to the cross-country navigation. I've taught quite a few map and compass classes, and what I found very quickly was a difference between the men's ability to understand and get it, and the women's ability to get it, understand, and be proficient using a compass and a map. My personal experience training dozens of men and women is that about 98% of the men can figure out pretty quickly how to use a map and compass, and about 2% of the women figure out pretty quickly how to use a map and compass. Yeah. I can't give you the details why, but I know it's true that most of the time, I use the figure 98% because that's been my experience, most women most of the time have difficulty getting it when it comes to using a compass and using a map. And just the converse is the reverse situation with men, where 9 out of 10, 98% of men get it relatively quickly. There is something about this male-female brain thing that gives men a better handle on this. Not that women can't learn, they can, but there's some difficulty and it takes more time to have women get it. So ladies, don't despair. Given enough time and proper coaching, you can get it. And gentlemen, if you're the instructor for your family, just be patient. These women are bright, they can get this figured out, but it does take them some time. And it's not a matter of anything other than the way their brains are wired up, and it's difficult, it's an issue, and it just takes more time. So I'm going to try to give a verbal description of cross-country navigation using a topographical map. Well, first of all, you have to orient the map north-south. Do not put the map on the hood of the steel hood of an automobile. You may be out in the bush getting ready to go, because you need to set the map down and orient the map with your compass. Now, the map can be on the hood of the metal hood, the steel hood, but the compass can't. The compass has to be far enough away. It may be a foot, it may be 2 feet away from the steel of that motor vehicle, because it'll totally screw up the direction that the needle is pointing. And of course, you want a good quality compass, a liquid-filled compass that is of good quality, that's something you can rely on. Typically, when I go out into the bush, I have two compasses. My main compass, which is a lensatic compass, one that has a sighting mechanism that you can easily sight with, and the other, a less expensive compass that is still high quality, but takes up less space and is less expensive. So orient your map north-south. Then you need to figure out where you are on that map. That's a beginning point. If you're starting out from a parking spot next to a road, you should have a pretty good idea where you are on that map. And of course, prior to the exercise, the training operation, you need to make sure you've got the proper map that will cover every place you intend to be going. So you get that map oriented north-south, you get your location, and then you figure out your destination, which may be a mile away or 2 miles or 3 miles, whatever it is. You get the compass heading in degrees from where you are to where you want to be. That's the next step. Now, this is radio, and I know there are some things that are going to be difficult to explain verbally. But you need to get the direction in degrees from where you are to where you want to be, number one. Number two, you take your compass, hopefully a lensatic compass, and where you're standing at your beginning point, you point it in that direction. You put a setting, I should say, on the compass itself. You turn the bezel of the compass to have that degrees set up. And this is one of the skills necessary to learn how to set up the compass so that it will get you going in the direction you want to go. So you get your compass set up in that proper manner, point it at the in the direction you want to go, and you pick out a landmark that you can see that's in direct line. It has to be in a direct line, cannot deviate more than maybe 1 or 2 degrees. It could be a large tree, a rock, a building, a utility pole. It doesn't matter. Something, and it may be 200 or 300 feet away. It may be half a mile away, depending on where you are. Out here where I am, it may be only 50 or 60 feet if you're going through the woods. You walk to that object, that tree or that rock or that building or that utility pole. You stop. You take another heading, and you find the next physical object that you can aim for, another rock, another tree, building, whatever it might be. And you just keep repeating that as many times as necessary to get to your destination. Otherwise, if you don't have any, if you say you're out in Kansas, for example, and it's flat and there's no terrain features of any consequence, you simply walk and glance down occasionally every 8 or 10 steps or 20 steps, whatever it might be, to keep track of the direction and make sure you stay on track with the direction you should be going. Measuring distance. Measuring distance. Now, that's an issue. If you got a team of men and women, this becomes a bit easier. Now, typically, a special forces patrol, a ranger patrol, will have the point man. Now, the job of the point man is to make sure that there's no booby traps or enemy that could intercept you or cause harm to your group. The compass man would be typically right behind the point man to make adjustments as necessary. Now, your team leader might be the third person, team sergeant, maybe the fourth, it doesn't matter. Then you got what's called the pace counters. Now, if you've got enough men and women, you could have two or three pace counters. And they're simple devices. You can make your own using parachute cord and beads, or you can buy them already made. I think I may have some for sale at John Survival and Tactical Gear. These are beads that you use to for the pace counter. That there has to be some pre-planning going on, where you set up a course exactly 100 yards long, 300 feet, the length of a football field. Measure that out someplace flat, and you have each person walk in a normal manner, not taking large steps, not taking short steps, just walk in a normal manner, back and forth at least four times, counting the number of steps it takes to walk that four times. So you're going to have four different counts. One or two of them may be the same. All four could be different. You take the average, and that's your pace for 100 yards, 300 feet. So when you're in the bush and you walk that number of paces, it may be, let's say, for argument's sake, 100 paces. Once you walk 100 paces, you pull down one bead, and there would be 9 of these. The different pace counters can be set up different ways. See, once you get to 9, and you pull the 9th one down, and you count 100 more, that's 10. You don't pull down a 10th one. What you do is pull all 9 back up, and then pull down one of the top beads, which would mean 1,000 yards. It's not 100% accurate. By definition, it can't be. Especially if you're on hilly terrain. The hilly terrain will change your pace. Going up, your paces will get shorter. Going down, your paces will get longer. If you're carrying a backpack, that's going to change your pace. If you're going uphill carrying 50 pounds, your pace is going to be considerably shorter. If you're carrying a 50-pound backpack going downhill, your pace might be considerably longer. That's why you have two or three pace counters. It's not terribly accurate, but it is a way to get a fairly close to knowing the distance you've traveled. When I say fairly close, within an acceptable margin of error, basically plus or minus 5% would be about average. Not exact, but close enough. All these things come together. The skills of being able to look at the terrain and understand what you're seeing in front of you, how that compares to the ink on paper topographical map. All those lines and swirls and squiggles and dots and so forth on the map represent real things on a topographical map. At the bottom of the topographical map is what's called the legend. The legend is just full of information that will help you on your way. Here's our break. The call number is 800-313-9443. We'll get back.
latest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts.
Liquid oral chelation product that you take with you. You start to feel the results of that. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day.
And simple hand tools. Check out the photos of these dome homes built in the Arctic, on tropical beaches, in suburban areas, and in forests. All the details, many photographs, and the pricing of the dome homes are listed on the left-hand side of my homepage at thelibertyman.com. I think you'll find these homes are not only attractive, but they're energy efficient and a bonus. You can disassemble them and reassemble them as many times as you feel you need the need to. Pretty great, huh? Something that's very, very unique. Check them out at my website at the Liberty.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Jim, we're back. J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the 10th of January, into the new year. All right, into the second week here already. Talking about maps, map reading is exciting stuff, right? It'll be really exciting if you have to do it and don't know how to. Most Americans don't know how to use a map and compass for cross-country navigation. I would say probably half or more could use a map for driving on the highway and on the city streets and so forth. But when it comes to actual cross-country navigation, it's a tiny, tiny percentage of people in this country that can use a topographical map and a compass. So it could be a skill that would literally be a matter of life and death in a crisis, short-term or long-term. Easily could be. Learning that skill now is pretty easy, quite frankly. We have what appears to be the luxury of time to do that, which may be a complete illusion, to get the equipment, get the skills, get the knowledge, get the maps, and then maybe have some fun practicing on a weekend. It can be fun. Orienteering, as I mentioned earlier, is a sport that people engage in for a recreational sport. It's a competitive sport, by the way. You have to get to the 6 or 8 or 10 checkpoints, and there's a way to demonstrate that you were there. See, I was just scrolling through the stuff here at John Survival and Tactical Gear, and I found a couple of wrist compasses. We need to get some of this stuff consolidated and next to each other so that you can see all the different choices and without having to keep scrolling through a couple of hundred different items here. So, before the break, I was talking about the legend of the map. The legend is at the bottom of the map, on the south end of the map. It gives the details that you need. It gives you the scale to show you how far 1 inch is on that map. 1 inch might be just a few hundred yards, or it might be 100 miles, depending on the map. Very, very. It's one of the first things I look at is the scale myself, because I need to know the scale to do calculations and figure out distances and so forth. One of the things we were taught in military intelligence school, not only map reading, but how to make a map out using aerial photographs. And what the exercise we did, we had, I believe it was a dozen 8x10 black and white glossy aerial photographs. And the assignment was to make one map, out of that dozen photographs. And the way we did that was to literally cut and paste using scissors and glue to cut and paste and match up all these photographs into one big photograph so it could be used as a map. Something else they taught us was to use a stereoscope. Now, stereoscopes have been around for more than a century, going back to the 19th century, actually. A stereoscope is a small optical device. It has two lenses about an inch in diameter that are set a distance apart so that your human eyes will be right on top of them. And a couple of pieces of wire feet that hold them up off the images about 4 or 5 inches or so. And what you do is you have two of the exact same images placed next to each other, and when you've got the stereoscope on top, you get a three-dimensional view. It's pretty neat. Here's our break. The call number is 800-313-9443.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We're continuing our Energy Cleaner promotion, which began August of 2016. In this promotion, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner, $70 off retail, and a mattress pad 10% off retail. $200 of the purchase price of the energy cleaner goes to Republic Broadcasting. This is a great way to help get energy cleaners out to people who need them and have some financial issues to deal with. And, of course, a great way to support Republic Broadcasting. Here's what you do. Send in a postcard. My address is John Moore, P.O. Box 201, Davidsville, Missouri. We pick a postcard every 2 weeks. If your postcard is drawn, you get the chance to buy the energy cleaner $70 off retail and 10% off the mattress pads. Put your name and your address, your telephone number and your email address on the postcard, and we wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
All right, we are back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Darryl Moore here on Wednesday, the 10th of January. 10th of January, 2018. How about that? My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. I do have a section there, John, survival and tactical gear. If I was going to have a yard sale, these are the things that I would have in my yard sale, because I own many of these things or similar items myself, things I've used and trained with for decades. Good quality equipment. You need to check that out. Of course, also at my website, you know, are the energy cleaners. Every Thursday, which would be tomorrow this week, we spend about 24 minutes talking about the energy cleaner, and you'll hear various testimonials along the way. People who got their life back. A couple weeks ago, we had Steve Whitman on giving his testimony about having his life saved by the energy cleaner. If you have issues with joint pain, arthritis pain, back pain, it will most likely help. Not getting a great night's sleep, probably help there too. We got a new year. What are you waiting for? You've been listening to me talk about this. You're procrastinating. You're thinking, well, maybe I'll do that. Well, it's time. It's time to go ahead and move forward. I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on the energy cleaner. That should give you some peace of mind. The mattress pads that go with the energy cleaner, they vary in price depending on the size. We got the handy travel size, 12 by 24 inches, twin, full, queen, king, California king. Even got some California king back in stock today, yesterday. $285 should be included on the energy cleaner to American zip codes. I do take PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. you need to send me a check, my address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. I have a toll-free order line 24 hours a day. Here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Well, during the break, I was going through the list there, John Survival and Tactical Gear, and I had to scroll down about two-thirds the way. It's just one long list of items to get to the bulk of compasses here. It begins with, the first one is an Iceland Zadig, very inexpensive. I've bought one for a member of my family. It's SECC4580, Sierra Echo Charlie 4580. It's hard to believe that a compass of this quality can be delivered to your door for $8.99. It's phenomenal. Then we go to the Silva Polaris, and then another Silva compass, and then a Camingo, and then another Silva, and then another little device that's got a watch, a flashlight, and a compass all built into one little item there. We got a caller on hold here. We got Mike in Arizona. Good morning, Mike.
Yes, good morning, JR. I'd like to... I've tried teaching people map and compass over the years, and there's some of the things that I found that seem to work better, especially when we're teaching land navigation to beginners. Sometimes when you get out in the field, if the people have a full-size topographic map, it can kind of be real awkward or sometimes overwhelming with too much information.
Right.
So what I find is if I take the full-size topographic map and go and photocopy it, usually either your standard letter size 8.5 by 11, or sometimes it's better to get the 8.5 by 14, and then get a 1-quart Ziploc bag, and then you fold from top to bottom on the long side that photocopy. You might have to trim about 1/16 of an inch off of the one edge for it to fit inside that Ziploc bag. So now you have a smaller, easier to handle out in the field, especially, you know, if it's raining or wind or something, and it's not so overwhelming with too much information for the beginner. And then there's also an added benefit by using this photocopy. So, well, say, for instance, it has a lot to do with the cost, because if your photocopy costs 10 cents, but your topographic map cost several dollars. Now, obviously, we could laminate it, but sometimes that's... if you're out in the field and something happens with your photocopied map, so you've only lost 10 cents instead of several dollars for a brand-new full-size topographic map, then when we're out in the field and exploring an area and things, and you can come across roads and trails that might not be on the photocopy or on the original topographic map, and then you can sketch those in as you're out exploring an area, and then when you get back to headquarters, so to say, then you can use that information that you've collected out in the field to update your master photocopy or your master map on the wall in your headquarters area. Also, when you were talking about pace count beads and stuff, I would also recommend that the people not only find out what their pace count is for 100 yards, but also for 100 meters and for 100 feet. And yeah, obviously, each one will vary. What is 100 meters is 328 feet. So if you're going to use the football field method for 100 yards to get your pace count for that, and then if you count the end zone from where the goal line to where the out-of-bounds marker on the other side of the goal post is, that's 10 yards. So that's 30 feet. So we're only going to minus 2 feet off of the end of that total. So you'll go the whole length of the football field plus almost the whole end zone to get 100 meters. So it's just the way that these things are measured out in most communities, because a lot of places have high schools and high school football fields and everything like that. A couple of other things that I have, it's on a PDF Word file. document, and it lays out a small circular compass course, and each one is only 100 feet across, and it's laid out in circular, kind of like a clock pattern, and, you know, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, working all the way around the dial, and then you can take some cups, or like those little orange traffic cones that are only about couple 3 inches high, and then you can take a magic marker and put a number, the corresponding to the clock face numbers, on that. And this especially goes back to when we're trying to teach a new skill, because when we're teaching the new skill, we want the people to succeed. We want to leave them with a good taste in their mouth. If we come out here and make a compass course that each leg's 1,000 yards, and they're looking for a little tent peg or an orange jug or something like that, and 1,000 yards is a long, long way for a new beginner, and then they get frustrated, and then they don't want to have anything to do with it. But and then you see, if we lay out it on a large pattern, then we can't go along with them per se, especially if we have two or three groups of people trying to master the skill, and then we can't make spot corrections as they're going along, whether they're not holding the compass level and the top of the needle's binding on the glass, or sometimes I've seen people will have a rifle strap like on a sling, but it'll be across their shoulder or across their chest, and that metal is going to throw the magnetic compass off. Even though people have been warned not to do that, some people get overwhelmed and things like that. So, but having it on a smaller pattern, and this clock pattern, I can send you the PDF file on that, and then we can make spot corrections and figure out why somebody's having difficulty on that. And then last but not least, and when we get to the compass part, that yes, we want to have a best compass for it, whether it's a orienteering or a lensatic compass, but I would also recommend that in your gear somewhere, if it's Molly gear, if you're carrying a small backpack, that you can get a smaller compass, usually cheaper, so to say, and then a lot of them have a place where you can hook a small string for a lanyard on that, and then you want to tie that on the end inside of your backpack, so in case something happens, you drop your bigger compass, your compass that you use most of the time, and say, for instance, you drop it and it cracks the glass or something goes bonkers with it, then you'll always have, because you've tied on a small lanyard, the smaller fallback spare compass on the inside of the backpack. So with that, I know that was a lot of information, but
well,
those are some of the things.
Don't get away here, Mike. I want to follow up on a couple of things. First of all, in Special Forces, we always use the Ziploc bags to put our maps in. And you need to protect your maps from moisture. That's just an absolute. That has to be done. Second, I use lanyards on all my compasses. My main compass has a lanyard typically attached to a buttonhole on my shirt where I keep it. And then the backup compass will have a lanyard on it also. But I also use lanyards on things like canteens. Out here in these Ozark woods in the summertime are as thick as any jungle you could ever imagine. With a lot of leaves, and when you drop something, especially something small, in that heavy leaf cover, and it's dark, good luck finding it without using a flashlight, because in a tactical situation, you simply can't use a flashlight. But all small items, flashlights, canteens, compasses, they're all attached by lanyards, because you have to move silently through the bush at night. You can't use a flashlight. And if you do, it'd be very sparingly with a red lens, but preferably not use it at all. And a lanyard can save a lot of grief. Now, you're absolutely right, Mike, when you talk about having a compass in close proximity to steel. That will screw things up real quick, and people get in a hurry, they're not thinking, and they easily can do that, couldn't they?
Oh, absolutely. You know, fence lines, power lines, vehicle, weapons, anything metallic. or transmission lines, they'll do that. And you know, you mentioned this deal of about lanyards, and I would like to add something to that, because everybody likes to have paracord because it's that G.I. Joe military stuff. But when you put a lanyard on something like a compass, a pair of binoculars, a canteen, your pencil, whatever it is, it should only be strong enough to hold that object. I see people having the paracord on like a knife or something, like a fixed bladed knife.
You don't need it, right.
And what's going to happen is if you get into a situation where you're around something moving like an engine or something, that lanyard can get entangled into those moving parts, the fan belt, the fan, et cetera, and it can pull you in and it'll kill you or seriously injure you. And that's where, say, for instance, you've got the strands on the inside of your 550 cord, your paracord, and instead of using the whole paracord with all the strands on the inside, cut off the appropriate length and then just pull one of the strands out of that and use that. Because usually if you get into a situation where you're around moving equipment and that starts to pull you into that, then you can pull back and you can snap that cord and you're going to save yourself some serious bodily injury.
Right. Well, something I do, and what you're saying is absolutely true, by the way. I'll use a heavy fish line, a braided fish line of a dark color that may be a 50 or 60 pound test. It's lighter. It's strong enough. One of the big mistakes, and you've probably seen this yourself, Mike, that civilians make going out backpacking is they carry too much stuff. You can count on that. Until you've actually walked up and down these hills with 50 or 60 pounds, you don't really think too much about how much another ounce or two makes, but it makes a huge difference. Every ounce counts, doesn't it, Mike?
Absolutely, 100% correct.
Okay. Well, are you a veteran yourself, Mike, or you just learned all this on your own as a civilian?
No, well, I guess a long, long time ago, I learned it as a Boy Scout, then went to the military and did it, and then now I'm nationally certified in search and rescue, so we covered it over in a different aspect, not so necessarily the military, but it's kind of the same lessons, but they're kind of taught in a different direction style. I mean, it's all the same land navigation, but of course they don't rely on even the newest NASAR, the National Association for Search and Rescue. They shy away from GPSs and everything, and it's all strictly
good for them.
Topographic.
Good for them.
Yes.
All I can say is good for them.
Yeah.
Something I've said a number of times to people: do you really want to rely your life on something that takes a battery?
Exactly. Well, you know, out here where I live in Arizona, it's a it's very sparsely populated. Right. And there's hundreds of thousands of acres where nobody lives. And the cell towers are generally located along interstate highways of about every 10 miles or so. And they only have a limited range, and I've seen people come out and they have, well, I don't need a compass. I've got an app for that on my smartphone.
Uh-huh.
And you get out and you get about 10 miles out away from north or south. Do you see it coming?
Oh, I know.
They get out there. Yeah, and they pull out their smartphone and they turn the app on, and the compass dial just sits there and goes around pinging in a circle, and they have no idea. It's quite comical.
It is, but you once you've done it once or twice, you know, you can count on it happening again, can't you? Are you still teaching classes,
yes,
Mike?
Not so much now, but on a smaller scale. But yes, we do everything from field sanitation, map and compass, don't do a whole lot of shooting. What we focus on, we call it OTS, other than shooting, because I noticed that there seems to be a lot of thought process that this is, you know, what needs to be done. But then what happens is a lot of people, they get off into, all they want to do is go shoot, but they don't want to have any interest in the medical stuff or the training right. aspect or the planning or the field sanitation, because a lot of times they think that's somebody else's job. But yes, we still conduct training on a smaller scale.
Well, I would expect the women would be more interested in those other things, because they understand the gravity of disease in the field, where the men just don't get it, do they?
No, not really.
Yeah.
And it might have to do with the convenience of relieving yourself out in the field, so it's kind of easy to do that and not think. And, you know, being that we're here in southern Arizona, too, that it's the added danger, if you will, because not only, I mean, there are certain areas where you can go into and it's fairly remote and fairly safe and secure, because a lot of times we can rely on our security for being in a remote area. But when we're trying to
hold that thought, hold that thought, Mike, we got a break. Hold that thought, we got a break right now.
And elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com. Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to understand.
All right, we are back, ladies, and we're back here, more here on Wednesday the 10th. Mike, are you still there, sir?
I am.
Okay, well, I really enjoyed your call. You're obviously a guy who's been there, done that, got the T-shirt. What advice would you give the people when it comes to getting started with using a map and compass for cross-country navigation?
Start small, miss small.
There you go. There you go.
Don't try to eat the elephant in one bite. Take it by a little small bite. Start off on just a small photocopied type of a deal and set out a little small clock pattern compass course and have the people do a pace count of 100 feet and get them comfortable with the nuances of using a compass, and because you don't want them to get frustrated. Don't set up some big giant compass course and all that. But yeah, when we're out here doing that and it's in southern Arizona, not only are you trying to teach them a new skill and they're focusing on that, but then we got the heat in certain times of the year, the scorpions, the centipedes, the snakes, and then there's the unknown variable of the illegal aliens crossing. So you definitely have to be switched on with a situational awareness and all that stuff. So it really adds to a big mix.
Right, U.S. topographical maps are still set out in feet and yards and miles. They don't use kilometers and meters yet. I hope they never do. So I'm not sure what value you bring to the table to doing anything with meters. Why would that add value?
Well, some maps are that I've seen, some of the newer ones, that they'll, in addition to have that. And I would also, because you see, there's a slight variation in the military topographic maps, because they're set out on, what is it, one in 25,000 and one in 50,000, and the civilian topographic maps are, what is that, like one in 64,000. So there's a slight variation in the grid squares on the map, but I find the military ones are pretty handy, especially the ones that are red light readable. And that's another thing. If you're ever going to mark a danger area on your map, do not underline the exclamation point. Do not ever mark a danger area on your map in red, because if you're using a red lens on your flashlight at night, that red marking that you've put on there will become invisible.
That's right. I covered that earlier in the show. Mike, I want to thank you for your call. It was very helpful, sir. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Thank you for your show, and carry on, sir.
Thank you. All right. Well, it was a fast 2 hours, and I hope you all got some valuable information out of this, and just get started. This is a very important matter, learning how to use a map and compass, cross-country navigation. Not terribly sexy, not terribly exciting, but it's a foundational skill that I believe every American should have, quite frankly. I really do. Tomorrow we'll have Tom Burhill with us, the second half hour, and then Open Lines, the second hour. Friday, Tom will be back with us, first hour, with Emergency Radio Communications, and then Dr. Myers. In the meantime, get your medical supplies, your essential oils, your energy cleaner now while you can, your firearms, ammunition. Never, ever give up your guns. Please do have a fun, safe, productive day, and God bless America.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Return to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just 2 bottles, a 4-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extendivite.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.